to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, nor the moon by
the book of Galatians, chapter 6 of Galatians, and we're going to be looking today at verses 7 to 10 of Galatians chapter 6, and I'm calling our teaching today, "In Due Season We Shall Reap." In due season, we shall reap. This is Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10. And it says here, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of God." Or the household of faith. Heavenly Father, we are always presented with the opportunity of life or death in your word. And grant and help each one of us to draw life from your word, that it may work in us both to will do for your good pleasure, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Our teaching is, in due season we shall reap. Now, in these few verses that we have just read here, they are revealing how we are walking as Christians. They're revealing what we're looking at. They are revealing how we are sowing. It's also revealing what are we sowing into our minds. We know this, of course, because the battle for the believer is in the mind. That is the battleground. And we constantly, each day, face decisions with regard to these battles in the mind, these thoughts and so on, whether it's going to take root or not. And that is why when we come to the Lord, we find after a period of time that God really begins to start to work in man's mind. Because the scriptures tell us that we have the mind of Christ. So therefore, because that is in scripture, therefore it is possible. And therefore the Holy Spirit will minister with regard to that. Now I don't have to tell you that man's mind in these last days is becoming much more reprobate, is becoming much more confused, corrupt, deceived, and so on. The God of this age, Satan, is working overtime, oppressing and holding the minds of most, because he knows that is the battleground. He knows that the victories are either won or lost with regard to man's mind. So these verses show us very clearly how important it is with regard to this seed that is sown into man's mind. You see, today there is so much, isn't there, to feed and excite man's mind. In other words, the flesh. To feed the lusts. We have to be on our guard with TV. We've got to be on our guard with books and videos. Platforms on computers. Mobile phones. You name it. Technology is gripping, holding man's mind. There's powerful demonic forces behind all of these. And of course we know that the Antichrist is going to use all of this and this technology and this AI that's coming in and so on. You see, you cannot feed the flesh and reap of the Spirit. The two are contrary. We all know this. This is nothing new. We have been teaching this for years and years. And this is where we have such problems as professing believers. Why do we have such problems? Well, it's quite simple, because the eye gate is the door into the soul of man. Your eye gate, what you see, affects the soul, the flesh. It affects our sowing and our reaping. And demonic forces have a lot of insight into all of this and how they work and oppress and afflict. And yet we can be so often blinded to this, or maybe in denial. And so we are affected by what we see. You know, with TV, some programs are getting more and more violent. The violence that is found on television now. And sometimes if you put your eyes to this and watch this, you can find that you're battling this for a few days. It's on your mind, oppressing you. And of course, they like to call it entertainment. And so we see that the enemy uses this with spiritual confusion. We have myriads of books, particularly theological books, written about the Bible and theological questions and so on. Little wonder that there is so much heresy, sadly, in the house of God. Here it is again. It's what man sees. It's what he's putting his eyes to. And in the end, land up completely confused. And some of them get to such a point that they can't even hear when truth is being said. Each day, we are sowing or reaping. That's what we do each day. And I wonder if we really take this seriously. So, with regard to what we have here, is this achievable to overcome? Can we get to a place where this doesn't affect us? Or we succumb to this? Well, before we go on, let's see what Jesus said when he came to this earth. Because this is the key to this. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6, and verse 63. Verse 63 of John 6. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And that bread is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is his word, the word of God. So there is the key, there's the clue to all of this. Let's also turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there it is. If you have a godly fear of what it says here in Galatians, these verses that we're looking at, then you are going to draw from the bread of life that is going to cause you to be able to overcome this. And Hebrews clearly shows us the power of God's word over what we see or what we hear. We're told the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So that tells us that the Bible that you hold in your hand is living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, it's sharper, it's more powerful than any weapon, any of man's weapons. And of course we know one of the greatest weapons man has is the atomic bomb. And yet we hold something even greater and stronger. And if we take Galatians 6 verses 7 to 10 seriously, then we are going to stay with God's word, whatever situation. It's going to be our source of food, meditation, reading, hearing. We are always about and around the word of God. That is what God is working within us. On Sunday, as some of you know, I spoke about the royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. And we revealed much about our ministry as a royal priest. And for those of you who didn't hear it, please go online and listen to it. Because we are about our Father's business. And God is going to make us desperate, if need be, for his word, so that we start to overcome what we read here. Because he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So the question is, what am I reaping? What have I been reaping this last month or few weeks or whatever? Well, only you can honestly answer that question. Because the Holy Spirit, he knows all things. So the word of God we're seeing then feeds our spirit as we sow to it. And so as we sow to our spirit, again I remind you of the parable of the sower, how we hear, how we receive the word of God, as we sow, as we allow the word of God to be sown to our hearts, what then is the reward? He says in verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we are showing you then what is sown to man's spirit, his heart, and it is the word of God. That is why we cannot deviate away from the word of God. The preaching of God's word. As the Holy Spirit leads and guides us to what we hear, to whom we hear, what ministry, and so on. All of this is absolutely vital. If we are to overcome what it speaks of here. With regard to sowing and reaping. You see, how am I planting? That is the question, because it affects my future. The word of God today that we are hearing is going to affect our future with regard to how we hear this. We either can receive life or death from this. We can either allow the seed to be sown into our hearts to overcome, verse 7, our sowing and reaping, or we're going to fall victim. And we will begin to reap more and more that which we sow to the flesh, to my will, my wants. That is why the cross has to be central in our lives. The cross that Jesus said we too are to take up daily very much affects with regard to sowing and reaping. And if we're always wanting our way, and we're selfish beings, then we're going to sow to that and in time you reap in accordance. And you'll know if you're reaping because you're starting to become deceived. You no longer have that sharp sword. You're no longer really beginning to discern or test. You're not really hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying any longer. It's a gradual decline. It's tragic what happens when you have professing Christians who are sowing to the flesh and not to the Spirit. And very often, as I've said so often, the neglect is with the Word and their prayer life. That's where it starts. And that's why the devil is fighting for your mind. The fight's right on. The fight is on right now, this moment. He's fighting how you listen, how you receive this. The battle's on. That is why it's so important before we come for our meetings, before we receive the Word of God, that we get in prayer, we go before God, so that the Holy Spirit can minister to us, that we come in the right heart and attitude. In other words, we come in faith, believing. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, the question is, are you in denial in this? Are you running away? Are you compromising over this? Again, only you can answer this. We can look for so much to distract us in this life. Just to give me a break or to do something different. And it's always motivated out of self-will. The point is that every morning when we wake up, it's not about my will any longer. It is about God's will, what He wants of me, where He wants me, whom He wants me with. Where does He want me to go? Are we being led by the Spirit or by the flesh, self? That is the question. That again is what's being raised here with regard to this. We know this because verse 10 tells us. And we'll look at this in a minute. By the way we live, we have the opportunities of being able to do good. So what is controlling and influencing your life? What has been controlling and influencing your life last week? What were you more attentive to? The things you want to do? The things that draw you away? There are so many subtleties out there that draw you away. And one of the things you've heard me say, and I'm going to say it again, family is one of the biggest problems we have in drawing us away from the will of God in our lives. And they will get us to sow to the flesh. As much as we love them and respect them, but that is what they will get you to do. And wrong company, wrong friends will get you to do that. They don't love the Lord Jesus Christ as you and I should love Him. That is the whole point. Now we know that our lives are a balance. We know that. But the question is, we're talking about, what are we sowing to? That's the question we're raising this evening. What are the things that are really influencing my life above putting the Lord Jesus Christ and Him first? Because sometimes God lets the reins loose for a season in our lives, and He does it deliberately to see really where our affections and our hearts lie. He'll do that. And sadly, it's not always putting the Lord Jesus first. What does it say in verse 9? And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And I think that has been one of the big problems that has been affecting FGA. We've grown weary. I've done good. I've done these things that God has said and so forth, and I see nothing that comes from it. Well, if the enemy can't get in one way, he'll get in another to get you to sow to the flesh. And all of that in verse 9 started in the mind. Satan's suggestions, his lies. He will always try and twist the word of God. That's what he does with us. It's what he did with Adam and Eve. His tricks don't change. So when we see verses like this, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint or lose heart. How often have you started sowing to the Spirit? I'm really going to sow to the Spirit now. I'm really going to turn a new leaf. I'm going to get serious with all of this. And so I'm sowing to the Spirit. I'm doing good. But the problem is, we want an immediate crop, don't we? We want an immediate harvest. And like all of things, seeds that are sown, you see nothing for a while because the roots are forming. But we can't always wait for that, can we? And so we become weary. We become impatient. Well, we all have to wait, brothers and sisters. As we know, Rome was not built in a day. In actual fact, this waiting is a life, it's a lifetime. Because as we stay with this, and there are going to be times when we feel we're weary. There are going to be times when we feel that I'm not seeing anything. But he says, don't lose heart. And the reason we don't lose heart is because God never makes a mistake. He always has a purpose and a reason. And very often, the delays are to get to our faith. God is always getting to our faith, so that we reach out for more and more. Because our faith, which is the basis, helps us to sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. That's why we overcome by faith. So in due season, we shall reap. That is, if we're sowing to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Now, why am I making such an emphasis on this? Because this is so important, what the apostle is saying here, because we get a clue to this in verse 8. For he says, I'll read this again, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap, what's that word you've got there? Everlasting life. So this means how this is how you enter into heaven. You will not enter into heaven if you sow to the flesh. In other words, if you continue sowing to the flesh, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, warning you. That is why this is so important. We're talking about those who make it into the kingdom of heaven. And you're saying to me, well, I will make it in because I'm an overcomer. I go to FGA. I'm listening to the deeper life in the spirit. No, you won't. That is no guarantee. There are those who've listened for years, but have still been sowing to the flesh, listening to the deeper life. Some who are not with us, sadly. And do you know why? Because the cross was the issue. They were not willing to die to the self-life, the selfish life. They were not willing to allow the Holy Spirit to do that work. Because he'll do it if we let him. And it's simply yielding over when he says what he says to us. And so, this reaping in due season and everything that we've been looking about, it's interesting, isn't it? At times we're crying out to God for deliverance. We're crying out to God to get delivered. I've got a problem in this area, or whatever it is. I don't understand. I don't know why I can't get the victory, whatever. Well, I can tell you probably 9 times out of 10, it's because you're sowing to the flesh. It's not rocket science. But we have become so confused, deceived, that we can't see it. And it takes the mercy and grace of God to show us. You see, what goes in must come out. We know, of course, the analogy, and said it many, many times with regard to computers. If there's wrong information put into a computer, that information will keep coming out until it's corrected. Sometimes we've found wrong information put into a computer about us, or they get our surname wrong, or maybe our house number wrong. And you say to yourself, I've told them about this, and here it is again in this letter. It's because they haven't changed, corrected the computer. And it's exactly the same with us. And so we will see these patterns in our lives where it keeps coming up and coming up. Resentment, unforgiveness keeps coming up, keeps coming up, keeps coming up, because that's what you're sowing to. And you can name it on anything. So, how do we get this change then? It's all very well saying all of this. Well, we have already shown you. It's how you listen to the Word of God. It's whether you're taking this Word seriously, making it a channel of prayer, going before the Lord when your name and address comes up in the preaching and teaching. Now you either can be offended, or you can say, praise God, that is a sign he loves me. And he's opened my ears and eyes and heart to hear this. Because remember, I don't know. I simply am led as to how I believe the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding. But the point is that the Spirit of God has come to convict, he's come to teach us, he's come to lead and guide us, and he's also come to deliver us. This cannot be achieved otherwise unless it's for the Word of God, because you're going to put your eyes to something. I mean, our eyes are open, we have to use our eyes in which to travel and move and walk and so on. And there is so much in life that attracts our eyes to look at. Many things that are not edifying, and so on. So there needs to be something greater in our lives that helps us when we are looking at things we shouldn't be looking at. And it's the Word of God, that two-edged sword, piercing, dividing, asunder of soul, spirit, joints, marrow. Notice what it's doing. It's going right deep into the soul, the very makeup of man, in the image of God. Only God can penetrate that spiritual side. No psychiatrist, psychologist can do that. And yet we so quickly run to the arm of the flesh to get these answers. But it's not. It lies here with God through the Holy Spirit. He is the one who can get us to reap in due season if we stay with it. And I believe the deeper life teaching that we receive week after week is in order that we reap in these last days. And yes, we're having to stay with it, and it's not always easy. It often looks as though we're on the brink of disaster or breakup. We think, can there be anyone left? But they are so often the conditions of which God matures us in. Even the apostle himself found himself where they all left him and forsook him. Did that knock his faith? Did that make him veer off? Not at all. He saw every trial, every situation, every opportunity to make him stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was sowing correctly. The enemy is so active now, and he's trying to rob us. He's trying to steal us from the Lord. He's trying to draw us away from this walk. Do not be deceived, it says here. God is not mocked. In other words, he is faithful. He has made promises. He will keep them. Don't listen to people who mock him out there as they do. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And how sad we are that we're seeing society today in what it's reaping. Because of it, they're sowing. All this sowing to the flesh. This is why Jesus said in the last days, it'll be like Sodom and Gomorrah. And how it is. Absolutely, man is a slave to the flesh. And doesn't realize the flesh is dying. And so, if we don't want to hear this, human nature goes in denial, pretends, and believes that they'll have everlasting life. They'll live forever. Oh, we hear these couples that come together, don't we? Oh, we shall live forever. How often have we heard that? What a lie. Anything but. But he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, the will of the Spirit, we shall reap everlasting life. And here it is, verse 10. This is the sign that you are sowing to the Spirit. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And here it is. It comes back to our fellowship. It comes back to our unity and oneness in Christ. if we are sowing as God wants us to, then we have opportunity to do good to all, but especially to those of the household of faith. That is what he's saying there. How am I doing good? That is the question. Does my brother, my sister, take precedence over my family, my friends? Very often it doesn't. We're more interested and we're more concerned about our families, our friends, than we are our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And when we wonder why there's not that true love and unity and oneness, here it is. It's what man is sowing to. We have to decide what's going to rule in our lives at the end of the day. We've got to decide with this sowing and this reaping, because this sowing and this reaping affects your stewardship. It affects your generosity. It affects you going that extra mile. It affects how you give financially. And I could just go on and on. And yet we see that this is so vital, this is so important, because verse 8 says, this is what gives you everlasting life. So this can be achieved, brothers and sisters, because we own up to it and we allow the Holy Spirit to have access to control us with regard to this. We have a free will. You can decide. And it's on that decision that God will do that work. The problem is that we don't like change very much. We're afraid that God might call me to live in a mud hut in the jungle somewhere. We've got all these fears that we listen to the enemy. But the Holy Spirit, he's the one that's in control. He'll lead and guide us. But he wants us to be fruitful, brothers and sisters, in these last days. And he wants us to be fruitful, especially to the house of God, his house, his people, whom he loves. No, you may not love them. They may not be whom you would choose or desire, but it's whom God loves. And whoever God has chosen, he's placed his love on them as he's placed his love on me. Who am I to judge that, to favour? So our sowing, our reaping, enables us and gives us opportunity to do good to all, and especially those to the household of faith. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. I think as I bring this to a close, I think we all know and we've all experienced how God is keeping us moving forward. We all of us know that our whole life and our walk cannot be achieved. It cannot even be done unless the power of the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding me, empowering me to be able to walk this walk. How you walk through this world Well, we've got to believe that God will put these spiritual blinkers on us, because there is so much out there that's trying to attract us and draw us away. So subtle. Particularly when we're getting a bit weary or a little bit fed up or nothing much is going on, we can become so vulnerable. But we've got to read those signs, brothers and sisters. When we go through periods of being vulnerable, this is where we call out to God for that strength, that grace, that mercy. The Apostle Paul did. He called out to God when he was buffeted in the spirit, in his flesh. And God said, "My grace is sufficient." And indeed it was, and it is. And it's exactly the same for us. Because I know it can be difficult. I know it's not easy. This walk cannot be walked in ourselves, in our flesh. It's impossible. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. And that is the whole point. And there are going to come times, because the disciples said it, who can be saved? Who can walk this walk? And it's actually quite good and healthy when you're challenged with that and you come to a point of almost deciding, because that is then a chance for the grace and mercy of God to take over in weakness. And that is what encourages us. That's what gives us hope. That's what shows us that we're kept by the power of God. Because the word of God, the revelation of God's word, cannot be kept. We cannot live it. We cannot walk it in ourselves. It's an impossible revelation. But it is possible to those that believe. And all Jesus said is you just need a mustard seed of faith. So let us take heart. We will reap in due season. God has not left us. He's not forsaken us. He's ever drawing us back. He's ever drawing us closer to him. Because there's nothing out there in that world. It's all tinsel. It's all gold gilt. It's all got a glitter. But in the morning, when you wake up, it's faded and it's gone and it's just history. See, God isn't working history with us. He's working eternity. And that is the difference. Heavenly Father, you have shown that you are faithful, that in due season we shall reap. Forgive us, Lord, that we have taken our eyes off this walk, off Calvary, off the cross. Forgive us, Father, that the world seems so attractive, has so much to offer. But Lord, how we need your word to penetrate deep into our heart and spirit, working that change, that deliverance. Help us, Father, with what we look at. Draw us away from those weaknesses, those things that we still sow to. Work that deliverance in our mind and heart and spirit, Lord, we ask. And we know that as we stay with your word and hear your word and pray over your word, that is our food. That is our manna, because it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Help us, Lord, to feed off you 24/7. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, there we are. We're spiritual farmers, given the best of seed. And we can sow. And we can sow that hundredfold. We're the only ones that can do that. Nobody else can. And as we continue to sow with that seed, so we shall reap in due season. And God has his first fruits. And out of that harvest, he's going to bring the overcomers in the last days as he collects from the four corners of the earth and bring them and place them on the altar before his Father. Now you can be part of that or not. We can choose. I think we've come thus far. We've come all this way. There's no way back. There's no turning back. And thank God there isn't. There's just one way forward. And that's why we have our hands to that plough, moving forward by his mercy and grace.
Brought low.